In this segment, we're going to examine just how free we are from government regulations and policies here in New Jersey. Before we get to a wide view, we're going to start with a specific example. Most of us would, I think, prefer to earn our own way instead of relying on government programs. More and more people are choosing to use their special talents to earn money, and some even start their own business. Hair braiding is one of those skills which offers that potential. Now, while state licensing isn't required in 25 states, New Jersey, of course, does mandate it. Surprise, surprise, a bill passed the state legislature to remove that requirement, which Governor Murphy conditionally vetoed. With us now to talk about how the foot of state government is once again standing on the throat of entrepreneurship and opportunity is the Assistant Director of Activism with the Institute for Justice, Brooke Fallon. How are you today, Brooke?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Website for Institute for Justice, IJ.org. So give us a bit of background on this legislation, because for both sides of the aisle in the Trenton State House to agree on something, that's a major miracle right there. So that's an attention getter. It was A3754, and it basically would deregulate hair braiding, but sounds like the governor has an issue with this.
Yes. So, you know, our organization, the Institute for Justice, has been working for nearly 30 years to reform burdensome occupational licensing laws that do nothing more than keep people out of business and protect industry insiders. And so for the past couple of years, we've been working with a really committed and hardworking group of hair braiders all across the state of New Jersey who unfortunately have been told that they need to be licensed as cosmetologists in order to braid hair, even though braiding hair involves nothing more than using your hands. It's a totally safe and natural practice, doesn't involve any of the chemicals of cosmetology, and yet these women are being told that they need 1,200 hours of education, they need to complete a two-part exam that includes a written and practical portion, and they need to pay around $17,000 for this education, which has pretty much nothing to do with hair braiding. So over the past several months, this coalition of hair braiders has been able to work with legislators in Trenton and come up with a bill that would remove hair braiding from cosmetology and allow these women to just be able to do a simple registration of their businesses and then be able to work freely and legally. And as you mentioned, you know, this is a bill that was passed unanimously by both houses. It's something that's been supported by groups on the left, groups on the right. You know, groups that don't agree on much agree that this is a really unnecessary barrier that we've put in these women's way. You know, many of them have come here from other countries. They came to America to pursue the American dream. They don't want to be on welfare. They want to earn for themselves. And we were really excited that A3454 was going to provide an avenue for that. And as you mentioned, unfortunately, Monday morning, after, you know, months of fighting hard to get this bill passed and after nobody showed up to testify against it, we have a situation where the governor has decided to unilaterally reject that bill and offer up his own proposal to keep braiding under cosmetology. We have a feeling some cosmetologists have probably been talking to him and pushing him to make that decision.
And his response to usually a conditional veto is maybe a 1 or 2 page statement. The governor, or at least the governor's office, basically rewrote the bill for the most. I'm not going to get into details here because for you listening, your ears will go numb. But he just seems to be intent on maintaining that connection of hair braiding to the industries that require licensing, manicuring and cosmetology. That's basically seems to be a sticking point. I mean, he goes in there about public safety, but the bill that passed both houses by unanimous votes, even if the individual has a operation set up in their home, they are still liable to public safety inspections in their home, never mind an outside business location. So public safety seemed to be covered quite well by that original bill.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the original bill was the result of many conversations and a lot of hard work between people in the legislature and the women who are actually practitioners and know what this looks like in real life. And so, you know, that was a solution that everyone felt would address, you know, the supposed health and safety concerns that people in the cosmetology industry will try to argue about, even though we at the Institute for Justice don't agree with that and, you know, don't think that those health and safety concerns are actually about health and safety. We find that typically it's more of an issue of established industry insiders wanting to keep out the new competition. And so, so the original bill would have provided, registration process, allowed for inspections. You know, people would only be allowed to braid hair if they were started cutting hair or dyeing hair. They would need to be licensed as cosmetologists. And so we were very surprised that the governor took such a heavy hand to this bill, which, like we said, is so well supported. And in my opinion, it's really just, he slammed the door in the faces of these women who have worked so hard to get this law changed. You know, they've taken days off of work and done the very scary thing of showing up to Trenton to testify in front of the legislature and say, hey, I'm here operating illegally, and I'm asking for you to, change the law and put something in place so that I don't have to do that anymore. And it's really unfortunate that the governor, instead of approaching people from our coalition and approaching our organization and wanting to talk about it, just made this decision on the very last day that he had to take action on our bill.
Representative Retired Brooke Fallon, Assistant Director of Activism with the Institute for Justice. IJ.org is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. It's important, too, to point out this is something that's primarily done with women in the African-American community and not always for fashion. A lot of hair braiding is part of a cultural connection, too.
Definitely. And a cultural connection, and as well as a way to care for hair that's actually been damaged by harsh chemicals from cosmetology techniques.
And there was a report, too, from barriers to braiding. It's, your organization looked at 9 states and D.C., which had a separate license registration system for hair braiders like this legislation would have allowed. And it was between the years 2006-2012. You had records for more than 9,700 braiders who had a grand total of 95 complaints against them, with very few of those relating to any health or safety violations. It might have been just a bad attitude, for all we know. So that's less than 1% of a complaint ratio versus active braiders in that study. So, again, the governor's concerned about consumer safety. It seems to be hair braiders seem to be among one of the safest industries out there.
That's exactly right. And that's why we see this as nothing more than an effort by, people in the cosmetology industry to maintain their control over this industry. I think they see, that there are more and more women who are interested in natural hair care. And so to them, the fact that these women would no longer have to be licensed as cosmetologists means less money going to the cosmetology schools that offer these classes. I think it scares the existing cosmetologists that, hey, we're going to have a lot more competition. And, obviously, competition is what makes this country great, and we wish that they would embrace that and realize, hey, if these women have a special skill set that they're providing, I can learn from them and provide it too, but I shouldn't be using the government to put up unnecessary barriers where they don't belong.
You'll learn more about this at the website for Institute for Justice, which is IJ.org. We've been joined today by their Assistant Director of Activism, Brooke Fallon. Brooke, thanks for giving us some insight into this issue. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Chris.